From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Paul's Farewell to the Ephesian Elders, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 20. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? One great besetting sin of ancient Israel was idolatry, and the spiritual Israel are vexed with a tendency to the same folly. Remphan's star shines no longer, and the women weep no more for Tammuz, but Mammon still intrudes his golden calf, and the shrines of pride are not forsaken. Self, in various forms, struggles to subdue the chosen ones under its dominion, and the flesh sets up its altars wherever it can find space for them. Favorite children are often the cause of much sin in believers. The Lord is grieved when He sees us doting upon them above measure. They will live to be as a great a curse to us as Absalom was to David, or they will be taken from us to leave our homes desolate. If Christians desire to grow thorns to stuff their sleepless pillows, let them dote upon their dear ones. It is truly said that they are no gods, for the objects of our foolish love are very doubtful blessings. The solace which they yield us now is dangerous, and the help which they can give us in the hour of trouble is little indeed. Why then are we so bewitched with vanities? We pity the poor heathen who adore a god of stone, and yet worship a god of gold. Where is the vast superiority between a god of flesh and one of wood? The principle, the sin, the folly is the same in either case, only that in ours the crime is more aggravated, because we have more light and sin in the face of it. The heathen bows to a false deity, but the true God he has never known. We commit two evils, inasmuch as we forsake the living God and turn unto idols. May the Lord purge us all from this grievous iniquity. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne, and worship only Thee.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on love.
Submission, be thou my joy.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Having concluded his third missionary journey, Paul started back toward Jerusalem. Having visited the churches in Troas and Assos, he came to Miletus, from which he sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus. Acts chapter 20 records Paul's farewell to that group of godly leaders. In the course of doing so, Paul has left us a portrait of a true pastor. He reminded them of how he had behaved among them, how he had kept back nothing that was profitable for their spiritual growth, and how he had served with great passion. In addition, he emphasized the doctrine he had taught, not his opinions, but the pure teaching of God's Word. Now, to continue this message, Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, we live in a day when ministers have become more and more the property of the congregation. Now, there's a delicate balance here. A minister, of course, is there to serve the congregation. He's not there as a lord over God's heritage. He's not a Protestant pope. But he is there as their minister. At the same time, he only serves them by serving God. And no man of God is ever going to allow himself to become the property of a congregation. So that when somebody in the congregation says, this must be done, he does it. So that when somebody, and this happens very often in churches where you have the odd millionaire or two, don't think we're troubled much this way, but however, where you have the odd millionaire or two, and he says, well, now I give so much money, therefore do this. Now, of course, that's not to make the minister proud and say he's above the people. No, he says, I serve the Lord with all humility of mind. And while the preacher of Jesus Christ, and I take the time to go into this morning, for there are many young people in this area who have their eyes in full-time service. The minister of Jesus Christ, while he is serving the Lord and he takes his directions from the Lord, if he's a man of God with an ounce of common sense, he will have his ears open to the voices of men of God. Paul says, with humility of mind. That is, with a mind that's humble enough to listen to the humblest Christian, not as a lord over God's heritage, but as God's servant among them. I serve day and night. Notice his passion with many tears. There's much in the work of God to break your heart. There's much in the work of God to keep you humble. I don't understand preachers who are big-headed, to tell you the truth. Now, I know preachers who have head the size of barrage balloons. I know preachers, and they're the greatest preachers in the world. They have never preached a bad sermon in their life. They've never done the wrong thing in their life. They've never put a foot wrong. I can bring you to ones. I've talked to ones like this. They are the nearest thing to sinless perfection after the Archangel Gabriel. So there they are. I don't understand how they can be like that, because I don't know of anything that levels you in the dust more than preaching the Word of God. In our home, my wife always talked about Blue Mondays. Mondays were the day when you came down from the Lord's Day. And Mondays were the days when so often there would be the lamentation, Lord, I didn't do as well for thee as I ought to have done. Lord, I didn't see the blessing that I wanted to see. Lord, I didn't have the heart of passion and of power that I longed to have. I don't see how any man who serves the Lord can be of anything but a humble mind and with many tears. Oh, there's much to break our hearts. There are temptations. There are trials. But Paul says, through it all, you'll bear me record. I serve the Lord. So he asked them to remember his demeanor. And then from verse 20, 21, and then 24 through 27, he reminds them of his doctrine. Now, this would take all day and all night to look into in detail. But notice how he puts it in verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now, just let me stop for a minute. Paul did not say in 3 years he had covered the whole Word of God. He did not say that he had preached everything that the Bible had to preach. He didn't say, I kept back nothing. Obviously, it's impossible even in a 20, 30, or 40-year ministry to cover everything in Scripture. And it would be wrong to seek to give everything equal emphasis. But he says, I kept back nothing that was profitable. Now, it might have been hurtful. It might have been something that cause discipline, might have been something that they really didn't want to hear. But he says, if it was profitable for you, then I didn't keep it back. In other words, he's laying down a principle that every Christian minister should get. He is not there to preach sermons. He's there to bring messages from God that are directly aimed at the needs of the congregation. I have heard preachers, and they get up to discourse in such a way as to make the people understand how much learning they have, how much study they have put in, what a wealth of wonderful knowledge is at their command. And what's the use of it? I've heard preachers get up and so handle the text that all they do is leave the people with a catalogue of their own doubts and of their own misinterpretations. What does it matter? Paul says, I come to preach a message from God. I come as a man that's dying to preach to men and women on the edge of eternity. I come not as a sermonizer, but I come as a messenger from the God of heaven. God give us preaching like that. God never let us forget that there is that which is profitable. Now all the scripture is profitable, undoubtedly. But there is that which is immediately ordained of God to our current situation. God says that's what we have got to pay particular attention to. There is the proportion of faith, as it's called in Scripture. There is the balance of Christian doctrine. The preacher who's always preaching on the predestinating decree of God to the extermination of the whole truth of man's moral responsibility is not preaching the whole counsel of God, and he's not preaching the proportion of faith. What is more likely to be happening today, the preachers that are preaching nothing but the responsibility of man and never think that there's a God who reigns in the throne of heaven are not preaching the proportion of faith. And they're not only upsetting the balance, they're caricaturing the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, Paul says, I preached everything that God gave me that was profitable unto you. And then he says, I have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks. Who are these Jews? These are the people who were the trial to Paul. These are the people who wanted to, if they could, kill him and get him out of the way. Paul says, even to those we have a testimony. This church has got to realize, and I want to make a statement very clearly here, and I'm not making a social statement, mind, I'm making a religious or spiritual or theological statement. This church has got to realize that whatever the social setup of the day or the country would call for, we have got to have a ministry to every segment of the population. Whether they're rich or poor, whether they're Protestant or Roman Catholic, whether they're black or whether they're white, this church has no divine right to say our ministry is to this segment and that's all. Paul says, I came to Ephesus, and whether they were Jews or whether they were Greeks, whether they loved me or whether they hated me, I have a message from God for these people. God give us back that kind of doctrine that's suited to all classes, all colors, and all types of men and of women. So this is his doctrine. And he preaches to them all the same message. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going into that, for I preached a message not too long ago on that very section of Scripture and dealt with these two points in a lot of detail. Let me say this to you. God has a message for you if you're not saved. What is it? It's the message of repentance. The first thing that the gospel takes note of is the total guiltiness of man. That's the first thing the gospel takes note of. The exceeding sinfulness of sin. The reason for the shallowness of so-called Christianity today is because there has been eliminated from most gospel preaching the preaching of repentance. Paul says, I come to testify to every man repentance toward God. What is that? Well, of course, repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of attitude. It's a change of what you feel and what you care about. It's a change of all those things, yes. But I wouldn't like you to think that repentance, therefore, is a man simply sitting down and saying, well, now, I've changed my mind, just as a woman does when she goes into a shop and buys a new purse, and she says, no, I've changed my mind, I'll give it back. That's not repentance. Repentance, this change of heart and mind and will that we're talking about, is toward God. In other words, it is the reversal of what took place at the fall. At the fall, the will of man, which was disposed to holiness, was turned so that it was totally inclined to sin and to self. Now, when repentance, which is the gift of the Holy Ghost, takes place, there is a new disposition of the will, and the will, for the first time, inclines toward God. God is the chief end. That's repentance. Now, a man can be sorry for his sin, and that's not necessarily repentance. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his second epistle, and he talks about the sorrow which is unto death. People can weep over their sins. I preached in a church where I had a woman come every Sabbath day for years, and she had more wit than many Christians. You couldn't have taken a whip or a gun to make her go and listen to an apostate preacher. She had more wit than the Christians there because they were sitting under these preachers. She wouldn't be found dead in those churches, for she said, they have no message for me. And she sat under my ministry week after week and month after month and year after year, and I could count in the fingers of one hand, and this was at the end of the time when she was sitting there. I could count in the fingers of one hand the number of times that that woman didn't shed tears. I used to see her sit there with the tears running down her face. I would see her go out shaking. I have stood and talked to her for hours on end, pleading with her in the name of Jesus Christ, and her breast is heaving and her frame is shaking with the tears of sorrow. But she never repented. You see, with all the sorrow and all the fear of hell, and yes, who am I to say the extent of the desire even to be saved? I don't know. But with all that, the old will that was in her loved herself and not her God. There was no repentance. I want to tell you, unless there's repentance, there's no salvation. I want to make that clear. You can decide for Christ, quotes. You'll go to hell with that decision. But there's no repentance, for it's not a true decision at all. It's a farce and a counterfeit. You may weep tears to give enough water to swim in. You'll perish with it without repentance. How do you know if you've repented? Well, is it toward God? As Paul put it, writing again to the Corinthians, is it sorrow after a godly sort? Is it sorrow after God? What is your sorrow of sin all about? My friend, I tell you this, when a man comes to Christ, the thing that may be uppermost in his mind is the wrath of God and the fear of hell. But I tell you, as soon as he comes to Christ, when God deals with a soul, the thing that will be uppermost in his mind is God himself. The man whose will has never been turned so that God is the chief purpose of his existence, that man has never been saved. Is the Lord the chief end of your life? Is it? Has there been repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Repentance is the turning from self to God to make him the chief purpose of being. Faith is turning toward the Lord Jesus Christ to make him the only ground and merit of heaven. That's Paul's message. Now, that's not a very popular gospel nowadays. The gospel nowadays, which is so popular, is, come on, God has a plan for your life. Does God not have a plan for the lives of unsaved people? Has the sovereignty of God, has the eternal decree of God been wiped out for everybody but Christians? No, sir. God worketh all things according to the good pleasure of his will. Everything. But we're told, come on, God has a plan for your life. You can get into it. You can get into it. You can do it. Come on now, do it. Well, do it, and you'll perish for your doing. Paul says, my message. And don't think it was any more palatable in the days of Paul. It wasn't. The philosophy of Paul's day was just as wicked as the philosophy of our day. Humanism had its roots right back in Greek philosophy. So you needn't for one minute think that it was any more palatable in Paul's day than it is in ours. But he said, no matter who likes it, no matter who doesn't like it, this is God's word. This is my message to Jews and to Greeks. So he preaches his doctrine to them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.